are the past, the present, and the future world. I know I just start off today by giving you a definition of the world. We start with Hebrews 1 verse 2. And the Bible says, "This is talking about God had indeed last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom we have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear."
Amen.
And Peter defines a world as the entirety of creation, the heavens and the earth, which are now as opposed to the world that then was. So although I'm speaking on the present, the past, the present, the future world, actually the Bible definition covers the worlds. Now in the scriptures, Jesus, when he's talking about the last days, he said, if you want to know what's going to come, know your history. And he referred you to Sodom and Gomorrah, the days of Noah. The Bible also say that which has been will be. Well, what's been? Well, in Genesis 1:2, the earth was destroyed by a flood. The Bible tells us the next time the earth is going to be renovated by fire. So something's going to happen. So we're going to look at the scripture. Most of the scripture is going to be centered on 2 Peter chapter 3 today, but we will bring in a number of other scriptures. And 2 Peter 3 verse 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance." Peter, in his epistles, mentions a number of times remembrance, remembrance. And in the context of this chapter we're going to read, he's reminding you of what is going to happen. He's reminding you there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. You know, so when he brings that in, he's going beyond the Apostle Paul talking about the rapture. He's going beyond the expectation of the second coming with Jesus. And he goes further. And so he goes on to say that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And if you go from verses 5 to 13, then he's going to cover that. And then he goes on to say, "The commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Saviour," which is basically from verse 14 to 18, which is mainly the words of Peter and Paul. But he said, "Be mindful of the words." It is important to know the words that God has spoken. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God has anointed his word above his name. And the words that God speaks, the words that Jesus speaks, he said, they are spirit and they are life. And so Peter is reminding us that you've got to be mindful of the words that have been spoken before by the holy prophets. And then he goes on to say, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." So as we come to this period of time, we start to see many things like a jigsaw starting to be put in place, and we start to realize, no, Jesus is coming soon. But one of the marks of the imminent return of Jesus is then you start to get scoffers. They start to go by and say, "I've not heard this before. You've been telling us for ages. He's going to come, he's going to come, he's going to come. It's a lot of rubbish." And so you start to get the warmth, and they start to pull you down, and they start to come against the word of God. And they go on to say, therefore, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." So, they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now this is the one thing, God is merciful. Remember before Noah's flood, we knew when it was coming because somebody was born and given a name, saying, when he dies, the flood will come. He lived a long time. And because God's mercy and he's slow to anger, people should take it for granted that nothing's going to happen. And out of nowhere, the catastrophes come. But the Bible also says here in the last days that they continue, as it were, from the beginning of the creation. The beginning of the creation is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And people say, from Genesis 1:1, things have just continued the same. Well, they haven't. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the foundations of the earth were out of place. And the earth was drowned in water. The flood of Noah was another catastrophe. So the Bible tells us the earth is old, but man's way of trying to say how old it is flawed, because they don't recognize the catastrophes that happened to the earth. They say what it says here in the scripture, from the beginning of the creation, nothing's changed. Everything's just the same. Before I came up, I went to look up, and I read about 1970, St. Helens in Washington, the mountain, there was a volcano. And from some of the sites which I've read, what the market has left, and things which people another come and say, they think things that used to happen. I can't remember all the details, but you might want to look that up. But anyway, people are going to be ridiculed, they're going to be mocked, they're going to be slandering prophecy. They're going to be saying, you're preaching a lot of heresy. You've been telling us it's never going to happen. And so what happens, those who follow Jesus, the devil's out to trick them, to lie, bring deceit, so that you will lose your confidence in God. In the last days, scoffers. So as you get closer to the coming of Jesus, you can expect. The more you hear people scoffing about the second coming, then you know how imminent it is to the coming of Jesus. In verse 5, it says, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. The past world, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When he created the heavens and the earth, it was out of water, it was dry land. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he had established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. So when God creates, he doesn't create chaos. When God creates, he creates something that is perfect. Not only that, Psalm 102:25 says, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. When God laid the foundations of the earth, we know when that took place. Because in Job chapter 38, the Lord asked Job a few questions. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So there was a day when all the sons of God were gathered together. The sons of God are the angels and the hosts of heaven, and they all gather and they see the creation of the earth, and they're all rejoicing and they're all praising God. And it happened way back in the past because the earth is old. But see, when you come to Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, something has happened. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God standeth in the congregation of righteous. And it goes on to verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So Psalmist tells us something happened in Genesis 1 verse 2. It says the foundations of the earth were out of course. And when you go to 2 Samuel 20, chapter 22, verse 8, it says, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. And verse 16, and the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. And so the foundations of the earth were shaken and they were moved out of place because there had been a rebellion. And we know what that rebellion is because we get it from Isaiah 14, that Satan, Lucifer, rebelled against God. And destruction came and judgment came. And the earth that was created perfect, the earth that was there in Genesis 1:1, ended up as verse 2, chaos, water covering it, the wrath of God, the consequences of rebellion upon the earth. The foundations being shaken and moved out of place. And there had to be a recreation of that earth. That chaos is described by Jeremiah in chapter 4, 23. He said, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the original world, perfect. Genesis 1, 2, the chaos, the destruction, because of the Lucifer's rebellion. And so, how do you verify that? How do you know that's true? How do you know that's true? The scientists will disagree with that. But you'll know how it's true if you know how God speaks. This is a wonderful thing about the Word of God. You get the Word of God in books that people never read. Hidden little passages tell you how God speaks. And when you go and read these little passages and you say, oh, this is how God speaks. Know what it does? It confirms the Word of God. Because God has multiplicity ways of verifying what has taken place in the past. And we find this in Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and have used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So the Bible tells us, not only does God give visions, but the Lord gives similitudes. What is a similitude? One of the definitions is a person or thing that is like or the match or counterpart of another. So how do we verify the story of Genesis 1, verse 1 and verse 2? Well, we go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Noah, why do you have to replenish the earth? He has to replenish the earth because a flood took place. And the people who were saved was Noah and his household. But when we go back to Genesis 1:28, what does it say? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, and this is to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Why do you have to replenish the earth, Adam? Because a flood took place. See, the scripture, what did it say? A similitude, a personal thing that is like or the match or counterpart of another. So what is the counterpart between Adam and Noah? Well, Adam had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We know that Ham, how he rebelled. Noah had three sons. Noah had a three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and Ham rebelled. Adam had three sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth. Cain rebelled. You know what's funny about that? Or interesting? One out of three is one son. So one third of the sons of Adam rebelled. One third of the sons of Noah rebelled. The Bible tells us that one third of the sons of God in heaven rebelled against God. And so the Bible, what is the Bible saying? Study the similitude. Here's the similitude. Noah has to replenish the earth. Everything you study about Noah will match everything you study about Adam. Go through the details. He was to replenish the earth because a flood took place. There was judgment. Adam was to replenish the earth because a flood took place and there was judgment. And so the Bible is telling us the foundations of the earth were out of place. Chaos was reigning. And then God recreated the earth. And he recreated the earth, which we know that Adam is the heritage of. When we come to the flood, the Bible says the waters receded. God never recreated anything with after the first flood. The waters just receded. So the present world, the world in which we live in, because remember, we are talking about from the foundations of the world, and we're talking about where upon the foundations, we're talking about the earth that then was. But Peter goes on to say in verse 5, but this is willingly and equitable, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and this earth standing out of the water and in the water. And that's Genesis chapter 1. And then it's just verse 1 and then verse 2 put together in that one verse. And the Bible said, you know, you've got to rightly divide the word of God. The one verse is telling you about Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, just the same as when Jesus, when he went into the temple and he opened the scripture in Isaiah and said, the Lord had anointed me. And if you go back to Isaiah, you find he stops in the middle of it with a little comma, he stops in the middle of a verse. He said, this is good for Bill. So he rightly divided the word of God. And we use the similitudes because the similitudes confirm what the scriptures are telling us about if we've got any questions to ask about any reservations. But the Bible says in verse 2, but the heavens and the earth which are now. This is the earth in which we are living in today. This is the earth that was created in Genesis chapter 1 with Adam. And this is the earth, even after the flood of Noah, because God never recreated anything after the flood of Noah. The waters just receded. But the earth, and the heavens and earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So what's the Bible saying? This earth in which we live, don't build your hopes and your dreams in this earth. Everything in this earth is going up in smoke. Not only is it this earth, but the heavens as well. Because the heavens and this earth are going to be renovated with fire. Well, if the Bible says there's a huge bang, great noise, everything is going to be renovated with fire. You know, it's interesting because in the scriptures, if you had diseases like leprosy, which normally represents sin, how did you get rid of it? They burnt everything. And the Bible says this earth is going to be renovated with fire. The heavens and the earth, everything is going to be purified and there will be no more sin. And so the scripture here tells us this earth is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. And so the conditions after the flood of Noah changed. The environment changed. The weather patterns changed. The earth ended up with a tilt, and you want to know what happened before you look under the sea to find out the city before the flood. But basically, the earth wasn't recreated. He said, what is it that we see? And talk, and when it comes to this earth, the Bible tells us how sin came into this earth. Paul tells us, by one man sin entered into the earth, this present earth. And death passed upon us all. But the future world, in verse 9, second Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The Lord is coming as a thief in the night. And so these people are saying, where is this coming? Where is this coming? We've heard it, we've heard it. You've talked about it, our ears are so thick of hearing your words. But then the Lord said, like a thief in the night, he will come. And ungodly men are going to pay the price. And the fire of judgment is coming upon this earth. And Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's long-suffering, he's kind, he's merciful, because he tells us he's not willing that any of us should perish.
Amen.
Everybody has got an escape route. Because God is willing that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of the truth. But the Bible is also telling us, don't get complacent. Don't get your hopes and all your dreams all based on this world and what you have and everything around you. Because just like a thief, the Lord is going to come and he's going to take you by surprise.
Amen.
And so we've got to be ready. And it goes on to say, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conversation with godliness? So he's telling you what's going to come, what's going to happen to this world. He gave you an example of what has previously happened, and then he said, God's coming as a thief. What's your priorities? What's your priorities? What's your dreams? What are you looking to do? Where are you fixing all your goals in this life? Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There is a call for everyone. The Bible says, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are part of the kingdom of God. We have a Savior who's coming to rule. We have a Savior who's not only coming to rule, he's coming to bring judgment upon this earth.
Amen.
And this earth will one day be burned up in fire. And there will be new heavens and a new earth.
Amen.
And so everything on this earth is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Everything is going to be renovated with fire. Judgment is coming on ungodly. There is no escape. So God is saying, where's your priorities? What are you living for? What like is your conversations? Godliness. Be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us, when we have been transformed by the Holy Ghost, we have a hope in us, because we know whom we've trusted. We know whom we've believed. We have confidence in our God. And the Bible goes on to say, when you have this hope, you purify yourself. Because you're saved doesn't mean you can live any way you want. The Bible says, you've got this hope, I'm looking for you to purify yourself. I'm looking for you to come up to a higher standard, because you're going to be my witnesses in this world of the coming judgment to come. You're going to be my witnesses in this world to declare that there's salvation, and there's a way of escape. But if you do not take the gift of God that's been offered to you, judgment is coming. And so the Bible says, when we have this hope, we purify ourselves. And having this hope, the scripture here continues on. Peter goes talked about being diligent, being steadfast, working hard at having this hope outworked in our lives. And not being led astray by the devices and the lies and the deceits of Satan. We are grounded on the word of God. And when they have this hope, we love them, we serve and love. So the Bible makes it clear that the original world in Genesis 1 verse 1 was destroyed because of the rebellion. The Bible helps you to understand, because in different places throughout Scripture, it tells us that in Genesis 1-2, the foundations of the earth were out of place. So chaos came, because God never creates chaos. Everything God touches is perfect. When God saves you, He's going to make you an example of somebody transformed because the work of the Holy Spirit in you will produce the life of Jesus.
Amen.
He's into perfection. He's into total restoration. But when chaos comes, the rebellion comes. And so, foundations are out of place, but God has given us. You use the similitudes. You use how I speak to you. And you will find that what I've said about the past happened as I've described it. And bear in mind, what I've done then, I'm going to do again. The world you live in, God is going to burn up with fire. And He said, you've got to be aware of this. You've got to know that you're only here for a season. And you're here not to do your own will. You're here not to do all the things that you like to do. God has said, I've got plans for you. Yeah. I've got assignments for you. There's one important assignment. Because when you get to heaven, you can enjoy yourself in the presence of God. But this world we're in is a world where you're called into the battle lines, you're called into God's army, and you're called to stand to attention and to go when you get the instruction to go. God said, don't be complacent. Don't listen to lies. This world is going up in smoke. And the day of His coming is near, and you will come as a thief in the night. Who's going to be ready for it? Great thing about the Bible says those who are looking for His coming are going to get a crown of glory. We want to be people who are now looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we're in these end times. And we know once we start to see people walking the second coming, then it's very evident. We're getting very, very close. So let's not put our hope in this world, in the things of this world, but let's lift up our vision to say, Lord, we want to see Your kingdom come, and we want to be part and parcel of everything You do, and we want to see the power of God released through miracles and signs and wonders. We want to see the powers of darkness being broken and people being set free. We're looking for a kingdom that is full of people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so God said, every one of you qualify.
Amen.
Every one of you qualify, because He's called every one of you into His kingdom for such a time as this. Okay. Put away temporary things. Let's fix on what is really important today. Fixing our eyes on Jesus to see His work being done on the earth. So knowing this, let's be careful how we live. Amen.